fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks, as always, for visiting those of us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com for another special edition of Purple Rain Radio. It is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016, and I have the very good fortune today of being joined by one of our former members of our favorite team, that, of course, being the Minnesota Vikings. He was a tight end drafted by the Vikings in 1996 in round four. He played three seasons for the Vikings before going to Miami for 3 years and then coming back ultimately to the best team in the NFL for his final two seasons. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome former Minnesota Vikings tight end, Hunter Goodwin. What's up, Hunter? How you doing, man?
Hey, Scotty. I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. Here before the day before Thanksgiving. I love it.
Exactly. It's great. So I was thinking with the timing of this, I was going to ask you something that I don't know that I've ever asked anybody other than my kids, let alone, you know, I know I've never asked anyone on the show this, but with it being Thanksgiving Eve, I would like to give you this opportunity to share with Vikings Nation what in your life you are thankful for here this Thanksgiving.
Oh, man, that's Scotty. I'm blessed. I got two beautiful kids and a wife that still puts up with me. So I think I'm very thankful to have a family that still tolerates and puts up with me. So that's probably the best thing I have to give thanks for. Two healthy kids. I couldn't be happier and more blessed for having that bestowed upon me.
That's awesome. You know, I might just take that soundbite and then use that for myself tomorrow at Thanksgiving.
I love it. Yeah, we're living America, land of the free, home of the brave, and get to love football every day. So we're in a good place.
That's right. Now, before we get deep into talking football, little more about what your life is like right now. Obviously, you have already mentioned your family. I understand you are on your way to becoming a mega real estate tycoon, or to some extent that you're working in the real estate area. Is that accurate? And how is that going?
It is. I wish I could say I was on the level with the new owner Ziggy Wolf. I'm not quite there yet, but we're working hard, proud of what we've done. Been in business now a little over 10 years. We've got almost 700 employees, and we're rocking and rolling. We opened offices in Houston and San Antonio, and just blessed. I mean, Texas has been on fire as a state, very active economy, and our home base is right here in Bryan-College Station, Texas. So it's a good place to be. It's a very collegiately driven town. You got a lot of government that makes it very stable, and we're blessed. It's been a lot of fun. Look forward to hopefully the next 10 are as fun as the last 10.
That's great to hear, man. Before we start talking some of our current Minnesota Vikings topics, they've got their game coming up here tomorrow, first of the three on Thanksgiving. I believe it's 11:30 start time out in Detroit against the Detroit Lions, and you in the 98 season actually participated in the Thanksgiving Day game that year between the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. What are your memories from that game, but also what were your feelings, you know, as a player having to work on that day, you know, because we hear a lot of mixed responses, I think, when players do talk about that. What do you remember?
You know, Scotty, I'm going to always say this, and not to sound cliche, but being able to play a sport and be paid for it is such a blessing. And I think
amen.
When you look back on life kind of as a retrospectively, you really realize how fortunate I was to be able to play a game I love and get a paycheck to do it. So, I would call it a minor inconvenience to have to give up your Thanksgiving, at least for part of the day, to go do something you love. I enjoyed the game. I think it's a great tradition. And now that I'm a Joe Bag of Donuts fatty sitting on my couch, what the hell would I do on Thanksgiving if I didn't have the Vikings to watch tomorrow, right?
Right. Absolutely, man. So have you been keeping up a good amount with the Minnesota Vikings this season?
Yeah, the Dolphins may kill me for saying this, but I've always viewed the Vikings as kind of my pro team. Love my time there. Love the Twin Cities. And, you know, can't wait till my son's a little older and I'm going to take him to a Vikes game. But, yeah, I follow him. I really do. And very, you know, I think they're now 6-4 and in good standings there in the NFC. And excited for – they need a win. I mean, they need to get a big win on Thursday. And I know they've had some serious injury challenges at quarterback and running back, and they're kind of beat up in their O-line. But I really – from what I've seen, I've never been around Mike Zimmer, but just the culture and the style that he leads with is one that would have resonated with me as a player. And you know, it's exciting times. I root for them and hope that they're going to do good things this year. So it looks to me that Green Bay's a little bit down and has got a lot of injuries, and you know, I think they've got a real good chance to do very well in that NFC this year, NFC North.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I can't imagine that when you and your son get to go to a Vikings game here in the near future, hopefully that you won't be extremely impressed and enjoy the experience in the new stadium. Everything I've ever heard from everyone who's been to the new U.S. Bank Stadium, just it's a phenomenal place to watch and experience a game. You played tight end with the Vikings, and this year, there's been, well, just about everywhere on the field, we've had, you know, some sort of transition or obstacles or whatever you want to call it. But this year, we had our tight end coach, Pat Shurmur, end up becoming the offensive coordinator here recently with Norv Turner's sudden resignation.
Right.
What did you think watching how that unfolded, just from a player? How odd was that to, you know, see a coach like that just kind of walk out, for lack of a better term, on the team, you know, at that point in the season, and then how you feel Shurmur has stepped into that role so far in the small sample size that we got?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, Scotty. I'm gonna answer this and probably sound a little bit self-serving in it, but Everyone pays attention to the pretty boys, I call them, the receivers and the quarterback. But it doesn't matter what level. It doesn't matter if it's spread offense or a conventional pro style. It all starts up front. And I think you've had a bunch of injuries in the offensive line.
Yep.
You look at the teams that are playing exceptionally well right now at all levels, in the NFL, in the college game. I'm a huge college football fan. And those teams that are – I watched the Monday night game between the Texans and the Raiders in Mexico, and who prevailed? The team with a better offensive line.
Yep.
You know, our old coach, Mike Tice, has got those boys rolling. So I think the challenge is, you know, how do you – you're limited as a game caller, and really tough on Sam Bradford, I think, when you're playing behind kind of a makeshift group just trying to do the best they can. If you're not getting it done up front, it doesn't matter what plays you're calling. It's a real challenge. And I think, you know, add in the fact that Adrian Peterson's hurt, you don't have a strong running game, it's just kind of a compounding effect. So, you know, I don't want to weigh in too hard on Norv Turner and beat him up, because I know him and I don't want to over-criticize. Who knows what happened there? I've heard speculation, but probably a little disappointing, I think, that he left the team in kind of peril, if you will, right there in the middle of the year. But I think that the guy that stepped in and is calling plays, I think this Vikings team's in a great spot. I mean, they got a lot to play for, and I'm not an expert in the NFL, you know, current standings like I am in the college game, because I still do a college football show. But to me, the NFC North is pretty weak right now. I mean, you look at the opportunity that lies in front of them. They're playing good defensively. I think there's some inconsistency with the Vikings defense, but they show flashes. And the other night I watched them play and had some big plays and special teams. And, you know, Bradford can slice it. He can cut you up big time if you protect him. So they get some of their guys back healthy and get that offensive line playing better. They've got a real chance to do some good things. And you had asked something, Scotty. I'm bouncing back, because when you said we actually played Dallas.
Oh, you did. Excuse me.
In 98.
My bad.
Not to be the whiteout to correct you, but that was one of my fond memories. If you would let me.
Yes.
That was the year we had drafted we had drafted Moss, and he was playing that rookie year with a big chip on his shoulder, and we went down to play, you know, Troy Aikman, and that was a really good Dallas football team. You know, that was still kind of when they were kind of like they are now, a dominant force and a team to be reckoned with, and we just absolutely slaughtered them. And I forget that was back when old Madden would give you the turkey leg player of the game,
mm-hmm.
and I know Moss won that thing running away, but that was a fond memory. We played that here in Texas, and I was a rookie and actually I was in my third year. I had 30, 40 people there at the game. So very fond memory for me to be able to play in front of bunch of my family here in Texas, and was a huge win for the Vikings and a dominating performance in 98. So one of my fond memories was that Thanksgiving Day game.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, my apologies for mixing up
okay.
the opponents there. But yeah, now that you mentioned that, I totally remember that game and Moss blowing up and just, yeah, I can only imagine too that for you, you know, coming from Texas, going to Texas A&M University, that just, yeah, that... I can imagine that had to be a pretty awesome experience, man.
Yeah, it was a thrill.
As far as other Vikings' big kind of storylines or disappointments or obstacles go so far this year, you can't bring those up without talking about the kicker position. And our former kicker, Blair Walsh, and now the new kicker, Kai Forbath, who hopefully can, you know, hang on to the job and do it to the satisfactory standards here in the future. But I think what... I don't know. I guess the main thing I want to get your opinions on or your take on from it is it listening to teammates and some other people, you know, like I understand with fans, you know, and their level of understanding and where they form their opinions. That's fine with me, but it still surprises me how many players it feels like, you know, throughout the team, from team to team, still have this kind of view and perspective of kickers as a second-tier teammate. You know, you've heard people coming out and, well, you just have one job to do, and, you know, it's the easiest job because you're never hit, and, you know, things like this that teammates have been quoted as saying. How do you feel about that perception or misperception between, you know, the regular three-down players and those, you know, and the special teams players, primarily the kickers, who... you know, aren't out there as much and aren't putting their body through the physical demands that the other players are, but are still every bit as important and impactful on the outcomes of the games?
You know, I would say in my mind as a player that I always kind of lumped in kickers as a bit quirky. And I think it is probably, if you dug deep into it, it's part of their psyche is really – The game of football is absolutely a team sport, and your success as an individual is predicated on the other 10 players, you know, on offense or defense doing their job. When you get to that kicker position, it really becomes a much more individual sport because your flaws or your misses are truly typically blamed on just a bad, you know, you did it, and it's...
Right.
Not a lot of people to point the finger at and blame, and I think because of that, they, you know, most of them tend to be a little bit, they're loners. They, you know, they come out at a part of practice, they do their thing, and then they kind of sit around and, you know, we're not sure what they do, air the balls up and put them in the dryer while the rest of us are out there banging heads for 2 or 3 hours. So, you know, they tend to kind of beat to their own drum. And but you made a good point. I mean, I had the good fortune of maybe playing with one of the best ever there with Gary.
Yeah.
Anderson, who I think scored, I mean, he put up just every kind of record that there was in that 98 season. And just a, you know, South African guy that was just phenomenal. And Gary was an amazing performer when it mattered most. I think I was telling somebody this the other day, I believe it was 98, we played Baltimore, and in a rain game, I think we won that game like 9-6, if memory serves me correctly. And Gary, you know, made every single goal. So, you know, I think as a teammate, you better learn to love them and like them because they make or break you. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, you depend on them. and they're very instrumental in your ability to win games. And now they've made the, you know, the extra point. I think last week I saw somewhere that there were like 12 or 14 missed extra points at the pro level, and that's the difference in wins and losses. So it's a real, you know, real challenge if your kicker's not performing well. And I think as a player, you knowing you need them and knowing you need them to play well, you better make damn sure that you're real nice to them, because you can get all the way down there and work your tail off and get them within field goal range. And if they choke and miss it, it's a very detrimental thing, and it prevents you from feeling good all week, because now everybody's miserable and you're all a little shorter, a little fatter, and a little uglier. So I think you really got to reach out to those guys. And Gary was really a mature, older guy that was very well thought of and respected in the locker room. But still, I just think it's their psyche. I mean, I think they just kind of almost have to put up walls and be a little self-absorbed, if you will, because they really, they shoulder the burden. It's all on them when they're up there. It's almost like a golfer. If they miss the putt, there's nobody to blame but the golfer, you know?
Right. That's a great example. No, I completely agree. And I think just the one thing that stood out to me was the common misunderstanding, in my opinion, that it's the easiest position because of the lack of, you know, physical demands or danger. You know, to me, that's just incorrect, because if it was easy, then one of the other 53 guys on the team could do it. You know, it's the
safest. Well,
safest,
and Scotty, to
you
your
know, there's
point,
a difference
you
between
wanna...
safety and ease, you know, of something.
Well, and Scotty, to your point, if you ever watch they always seem that some, you know, be it a playoff game or the Super Bowl, they always have the fan come out of the stands and try to kick the field goal, and they can't even get the damn thing 10 feet off the ground. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, without a doubt, it's far from easy. And, you know, it's very hard. It's definitely a science. It's a craft. And there's the good ones are worth their salt. I mean, you
absolutely.
I'll tell you this. I was with a former teammate of mine the other day, Scotty, who now is a special teams coach in the NFL, and he was here working out A&M kid in the off season, and he said, "You know, son, I'm not paying you to kick the ball. I can get anybody to do that. I'm paying you to handle pressure and perform under pressure." And I think people don't really understand that. You know, you miss a field goal that costs your team a game that they've laid their hearts out on the line for, and you've got to walk around that locker room for the next 6 days until you get a chance at redemption. And you feel those eyes looking at you like you're a low-life scoundrel. So it's a much tougher job, and one that, you know, I'm not ever going to say is easy, because I know it's far from that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's a topic that I have to get your thoughts on, because I can't live with myself if I don't. One of my favorite guests here on the podcast, I believe three-time, the only member in our triple threat club here, is our rookie tight end drafted in the sixth round, David Morgan. He went to the University of Texas, San Antonio. And some might even say that he is the next coming of Hunter Goodwin. You were known for being one of the, if not the best, run-blocking tight ends in football during your time. And David Morgan seems to have that same type of potential to excel in that area, as well as other, you know, he's not just a one-dimensional tight end, though. Don't get me wrong, David. Love you, and you're more than just a run blocker, but... do you have an opinion yet on our rookie tight end, David Morgan, what you've seen from him, you know, just in this little bit so far through his rookie year? And actually, maybe you're familiar with him from his college days a little bit, too, down in Texas, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, I do. I remember the kid over at UTSA. If memory serves me correctly, I think he was the first NFL draft pick. A draft pick that came out of that UTSA program, which
is
a fairly new, program. Interestingly enough, we played UTSA last week here at home. The Aggies did, and so they're fresh on my mind. Yeah, you know, here's what I would say, Scotty, is that being a good blocker is a mentality. We just talked about the kicker and what a mentality that was. Is that I think one of the most impressionable things for me as a Viking was playing for Mike Tice, and his expectation level for you was you better excel. If you're going to play for him, you better be an excellent blocker. And it's a pride thing. It's a sense of I watch a lot of kids today who they're quick to give you great effort when they're flexed out or they're running a route or they're catching a pass, but then in the run game they're barely their guys in there blowing up the play or smacking the running back and preventing a big, a big explosive play. And I just, it makes me sick to see that. So anytime that you are going to have a mentality that you're going to go out there and win at your position and block a defensive end and dominate the line of scrimmage and give the kind of effort that is required that comes with that, I have a tremendous appreciation for that. So I've not watched the kid play a ton, but everything I've seen thus far looks like he's that kind of kid, and to me, that's, I would much rather be known for that than I would for being a fancy dancy, run around and catch pretty passes guy. Because I'll say this, I can go to my grave and no one's ever going to accuse me of saying he was great finesse. Now, rolling ball of butcher knives and a tough son of a gun, those are the things that I want to be called. And to me, when you're a guy that gets after other people, that's what you want to be known for.
I love it. That's awesome. I'll get you out of here on this, Hunter. I'm pretty sure, based off of what I've researched, that, and just talking to you here these past 20 minutes, which I've very much enjoyed doing, that you're a guy with a big heart. Not only, were you doing something that you loved, but you're extremely grateful for it, and thus you've been involved in charities and volunteer work and things like that, both during your career and since then. Are there any charities or things that you would like to promote here to us Minnesota Nice Vikings fans who might be in an extra charitable and generous mood this Thanksgiving holiday season?
I don't know if old Brad Matt is Brad still working for the Vikings, kind of in the community relations? Does he still?
I'm not sure.
Well, anyways, if he still does, shout out to Brad. But he was a great, did a lot there with Special Olympics. I have a first cousin that's got cerebral palsy, so it's always been a personal passion of mine, and I think it just gets back to sport. And it's been so good to me and just such a unique thing, and for those kids to get to go out there and compete and play, and they don't know if it's a Super Bowl or if it's a Special Olympics at a local high school, but I can tell you this, they know the feeling what it's like to get out on the field and compete and do your best. And it brings out the best in people. So yep. I've always been a big fan of Special Olympics, and still try to support them and give money to them and do anything I can to help that program out. So if you're feeling generous, then hopefully you'll think of that.
Awesome. Hunter, thank you so much for taking the time to do this, man. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Scotty. Call me anytime, man, and I'll be glued to the TV. My Ags play tomorrow night against LSU, so I'm taking my whole family up there to the game, and we're actually going to have Thanksgiving dinner there on site and get ready, get amped up for the game, and we'll be watching the Vikings-Detroit as we await their 6:30 kick. So I'll be rooting for both my teams tomorrow.
Awesome, man. Well, my sincerest best holiday wishes to you and your loved ones. May you have a very happy and very safe Thanksgiving. And the rest of 2016, for that matter, going into the 2017. And I will definitely hit you up on that offer to chat football again sometime. Thanks again, Hunter. Really appreciate it, man.
You bet, Scotty. All right, man.
Take care.
See you, Vikings. All right. Bye.
Once again, that was former Minnesota Vikings tight end Hunter Goodwin joining us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com. Man, major thanks to Hunter Goodwin for taking the time to do that. Just really awesome, down-to-earth guy. Wonderful to talk to. And I really hope you enjoyed listening to it as well. Make sure to keep visiting us on the site. We've got all kinds of content, previews, recaps, interviews, fantasy football, you name it. Again, it's on thesportsdaily.com/Vikings Digital Diaries. I am Scotty Ball, wishing all of you a very safe and very happy Thanksgiving holiday. And as always, Skol Vikings!